This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now, again, wudu, fard parts. Now, why do we need to know the fard parts? Because of two reasons. Firstly, because if you don't do the first part, your wudu is not valid at all. And secondly, because if you are in a bind, you don't have enough water, or you are in a hurry or something, at least do that much. Firstly, washing the face completely once, which includes rinsing the mouth and nose. But some people have said that just washing the face without rinsing the mouth and nose also is acceptable. Wallahu a'lam. Then washing the arms up to the elbows once, wiping the entire head including the ears once, and washing the feet up to the ankles once. That is the fard part of wudu. Also part of the wudu is to do this in this order, which is the hands and then the face and then the arms and then the masa and then the feet. If you change the order, the wudu becomes invalid. So whatever reason, if you forget or something, deliberately, why would you change the order? But you know, the freaky people, they do funny things. So don't do that. Make sure that you pray and that you make the wudu in the correct order. And also, the whole process must be done continuously without, you can maybe take a break in the sense that if you have to put something here and there, but like, you know, you can't wash your face, go have a cup of coffee and come back and then start washing the hands. No. Have the coffee after the wudu. That's better for you. So make sure that you don't have any big breaks in between. Make sure that it is done in one straight way. And the ayat of Suratul Maida also, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, you believe, when you intend to offer salah, wash your faces, hands, up to the elbows, rub by passing wet hands over your head, which is the masa, and wash your feet up to the ankles, the ayat which I mentioned earlier. Now, wudu and sunnah, what is mustahab is to make the intention of wudu, of purifying yourself and removing the impurity. You say Bismillah, then you wash your hands three times and rinse your mouth three times, swirl the water inside your mouth, rinse your nose three times, blowing the water out, and using the left hand to remove the water from the nose. And then you wash your face three times, from the hairline to the jawbone fully, chin and from ear to ear. This is the description of the face. Many times you find that people, when they have made wudu, they are dry parts, you know, in the corners. Wudu is not valid. So make sure that your whole face is properly wet. If the beard is thin, then they must wash it inside fully, completely. And if it is thick and covers the skin completely, thick beards, then only even if this over the surface it is washed, it is enough. If your beard is still inside your heart and hasn't come out on your face, then you put the water inside your heart and wash your beard as well. Please understand this. Many people, their beard is in the heart. Taqwa is also in the heart. Everything is in the heart. So they eat food also, they put a needle and put it inside the heart. Then they should wash their arms up to the elbows three times. The arm includes the nails to the lower part of the upper arm. So this is up to here. It is essential to make sure that the that water touches everything. People with nail polish, wudu is invalid. Stain is okay. For example, mehndi and so on, which is a stain, it's not a covering. But nail polish, nail paint, this completely invalidates the wudu. So make sure that you don't use nail paint and nail polish, because otherwise your wudu is not valid. Without wudu, your salah is not valid. Then the masa, which is to take your hand like this and over the hair and then bring it back. And then with the ears behind the ears, with the thumbs behind the ears, make sure that that you do the masa properly. And with your index fingers, wipe the ears and the back of the ears with your thumbs. With regard to a woman's hair, she should wipe it, whether it's loose or braided, from the front of her head to the roots of the hair at the nape of the neck. But she does not have to wipe the entire length. If she's got a long plait or something, she doesn't have to wipe the whole thing and so on. Just doing that once is sufficient for the woman. And then wash feet three times up to and over the ankles. Once again, be careful with that. Many times people leave the parts of their feet dry. There's a hadith where Rasulullah passed by some people making wudu and he said, save your feet from the hellfire. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, what did we do? He said, you're making a wudu in a way where your heels and part back of the foot and so on is still dry. So he said, make sure that you wet the whole foot right up to and above the ankles. It is mustahab to say, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh after you complete the wudu. Inshallah, this is mustahab. And also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith that no one of you who does wudu and does it properly and does it well, and then he said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, but the gates of Jannah will be open to him and he may enter from whichever gate he wishes. And this is a Sahih hadith in Muslim in the Kitab of Tahara. Now imagine, I mean, the point I always, which strikes me, which I want to emphasize for you, is see the ease and beauty of this religion, how small things get us such enormous deeds. You know, the gates of Jannah, the eight gates of Jannah will be opened for you and you will be given the choice, enter from whichever gate you want. If somebody just comes to me and says, this is going to be given to you, right? Now tell me, what are you willing to do? What will anyone with iman say? He will say, take everything I have, whatever I have, whatever I do, take it all from me, but give me this. Allah is not taking anything from you. Allah is not taking anything from you. Allah does not take anything from anybody. All that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, just make wudu properly, khalas. Just make wudu properly, that's it. And the doors of Jannah, the gates of Jannah will be opened and you will be given this opportunity, whichever gate you want to enter Jannah, enter Jannah. You do the wudu properly, pray two rakat of salah, after that all your sins are forgiven. Small things. This is the value and virtue of this ummah, of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the value of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who have been given this great benefit of being able to do small things for which there are huge rewards. In a report narrated by and collected in Tirmidhi, which adds, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin. And then of course in another narration, وَجَعَلِي مِنْ عِبَادَكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So whichever you want to say, make this dua also, O Allah, make me among those who repent, make me among those who purify themselves, and make me among those who are your salihin, who are people of good deeds. Now, masa over socks. The way to make masa over socks is, alhamdulillah, it is permissible, it is part of the aqidah as a matter of fact. The way to make masa over socks is that you first make wudu properly and wash your feet. And after that, if you put on your socks, then if your wudu breaks, you can make masa over socks. The way to make masa over socks is you do the whole wudu. And when it comes to washing the feet, you wet your right hand and pass it over your right foot. And you wet your left hand and pass it over your left foot. On the top of the foot. Sometimes you see people who are doing masa over the foot, under the foot, and they, you know, like a masa is not massage, right? So it's masa. So don't do all that. Just wet the hand and pass it over, wet the hand, pass it over on top. Somebody asked Sayyidina Ali this question, radiallahu anhu. He said that if I had to make this decision, then I would say masa should be on the bottom of the foot, because the bottom of the foot is that which comes into contact with the earth. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said masa is over the top of the foot, so therefore that is what masa is. Please understand, this is the issue of ritual purity, it's not an issue of physical purity. Obviously, your socks and so forth must be clean, otherwise the masa is not valid, because if there is filth attached on the socks, then you have to remove the socks and wash them and wash your feet. But as long as the socks are clean, then you can do this. The same applies also to shoes, provided they are boots which cover the ankles. So if you are wearing, if you are wearing normal shoes which don't cover the ankles, you can't do masa over them. But if you are wearing boots which cover the ankles, then you can make masa over the boots also. So you washed your feet in the morning or whatever time, and then you put on your socks, you put on your boots, you broke the wudu. Now when you are making wudu, you make masa over the boots. You made the masa over the boots, but now when the time for salah comes, you go to the masjid, you take off your boots, your wudu is gone. Because the wudu is valid only with the boots on. So obviously you can't walk into the masjid with the boots on and say, no, I made masa, no. So this boots thing applies if you are praying outside the masjid, where you can pray with your boots on, as long as there is no impurity in the boots. But otherwise, it is better to make masa over socks, because socks, in any case, you can go into the masjid and so on and so forth. Sometimes on long air travel and whatnot, you might wear soft boots which are comfortable, and you make masa and then you continue to do your salah, alhamdulillah, there's no problem. Masa, when masa is done over socks, for a person who is muqim, a person who is resident in their place of residence, that masa is valid for 24 hours. When you are traveling, it is valid for 3 days. I don't recommend for you to keep your socks on for 3 days. That's like nasty, but you know, it's valid. So make sure that you keep that in mind. The socks also must cover the entire foot up to and over the ankle. You have the other socks which, you know, what do you call them? I don't wear the stuff, so I don't know. But, anklets. So, yeah, all that stuff, masa is not valid over them. You can wear them, nothing wrong with that, but masa is not valid over them. Masa can be made only when feet have been washed in wudu, and I mentioned all of this to you, so I don't have to repeat all that. Now, there are arguments, and there are people make the issue of saying that masa is valid only over leather socks and not over cotton socks. And some people said that if it's over cotton or nylon socks, then they should be socks in which you should be able to walk at least 2 kilometers without the socks being torn. Now, please understand this one thing very clearly. The masa is a matter of aqidah of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not short of words. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us instructions, and the instruction of the Nabi is to be taken as he gave it, without implying and imputing all kinds of explanations for it. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to say masa is valid over leather socks only, he would have said that. He did not say that. He says masa is valid over socks. Right? Now, people interpret it, they say, no, socks meant leather socks. Sorry, socks do not mean leather socks, socks mean socks. And the Sahaba, we have enough evidence to know that the Sahaba used to wear socks made of cotton, made of leather, made of wool, and sometimes those socks would be very old and, you know, full of holes. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even say the socks must not have holes. Islam makes it easy. So therefore, no need to tie yourself up into knots about all this. As long as you are wearing socks, inshallah, masa is valid. And what I just told you is not my opinion. This is the fatwa of Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. So that which is what I am narrating to you. And wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is right. And may Allah give us the ability to do that. This is the last slide. Isha is 8 o'clock, right? So we'll break for Isha in another couple of minutes. This is the last slide as far as clothing is concerned for salah. Decent clothes that cover the entire body and do not uncover during salah. If the aura is uncovered, salah becomes invalid. A lot of times people wear short t-shirts and then hipster trousers, and when they go into ruku, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun, when they go into sujood, Allah knows best. I mean, please, do not wear clothes like this. This is completely insane. Wear clothes which cover the whole body, and wear clothes which don't show the shape of the body. And if in your salah, if you have, if you're wearing these funny clothes, and if you go in ruku, and your, becomes visible, even if nobody sees it, your salah has become invalid. Please understand that. And also, in case you are praying behind this person or next to this person, even though what is seen cannot be unseen, but your salah is valid. So don't worry about that. That's the important thing. Now, number two is, don't wear t-shirts with slogans and pictures and whatnot, and especially not on the back. Because in salah, in Hanafi fiqh especially, if you read something or you use a language other than Arabic within salah, your salah is invalid. So somebody's got now this big thing written on the back of his t-shirt, I mean, you are human, you know, your eyes fall in all night, you're going to read it. So don't do that. Don't come to the masjid with things like that. And then some people, they come with that and then they invert the t-shirt and wear it, and that becomes even more, because now it's a mystery and the guy behind you is now trying to read what is that. So, so don't do that. Don't wear t-shirts with pictures and slogans and stuff. For men, it is mustahab to wear perfume. It is very important to brush your teeth and ensure that there are no unpleasant smells. And Rasulullah said, if you have eaten onion and garlic, don't go near the masjid, because the malaika do not like the smell of onion and garlic. This is a big issue, especially in Ramadan for Taraweeh. Wallahi, you stand next to somebody, you know his entire menu, what he had for iftar, you can know from the soup to the pudding, what, just because by standing next to, for God's sake, please, I mean, go brush your teeth, put some perfume, do something. Don't come into the masjid smelling like a pot. The place of prayer must be visibly clean. You don't have to go into a, you know, tiff about, you know, what may have happened there. Doesn't matter, as long as it's clean and you know it is clean, that's fine. But it's important that it should be clean. And place a sutra, place some kind of barrier between you at the place of sujood, and so that other people can't pass. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even if it is an arrow, place it there. So make sure you do that. So when you are praying, you pray, all of what I mentioned is when you are praying by yourself. So we'll come to the imam issue. So when you are praying, make sure that there is something in front of you. You don't have to carry chairs around. This is another thing nowadays. Everyone walks with a chair. I mean, to put the chair. You don't have to have a chair. You don't have to, you know, construct a building in front of you. Make sure there is something, whatever barrier you put in front of you. Also, the sutra is at your place of sujood. So your sutra does not extend from here to the Kaaba. So if somebody goes on the third saf or something, this is fine. But make sure it is there. And if you have not placed a sutra and somebody is crossing before you, put out your hand and make sure the person doesn't cross. If your shoes are clean outside, you can pray without your shoe, with your shoes on. And covering the head is mustahab. Alhamdulillah, it is a good thing to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always covered his head when he prayed, except for one instance where the hadith says that he had just had a bath and he came and the sahaba said we could see his hair was wet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, praying continuously, always without a head covering, this is not from the sunnah. So, please don't do that. Once in a while, sometimes you don't have head covering, it's okay. Your salah doesn't become invalid. But sometimes people make it like a religious objective that they must pray without a head covering. This is completely wrong. Please don't fall into that trap. Just as people turn it the other way around. I mean, may Allah forgive us. I remember once one masjid in Juma, the imam, after Iqama, the imam says, jo bagher topi ke namaz pad rahe hain, unki namaz kharij ho gayi, unki namaz wajib nahi hai. And then he says, Allahu Akbar. What are you supposed to do? I mean, if you say your salah is invalid and you are saying it now after the Iqama, where is he going to go find a hat? So, don't fall into any of these extremes. If a person is praying without a head covering, alhamdulillah, inshallah, his salah is valid. Maybe he prayed with a head covering his whole life, and that one time he was trying to practice the other sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of praying without head covering. So he's doing it in keeping with the sunnah. That one time in his entire life he never prayed, only one time he prayed. Alhamdulillah, good for him. Let him do that. So don't impose your deen on somebody else. But at the same time, I'm talking for myself, make sure that we pray with a head covering. This is mustahab, and this is very much acceptable, is a very good thing to inshallah, right? So inshallah, we break now for Isha, and tomorrow see you at 10:30. We will talk about the other issues of Salah, we will talk about the issues of Imamat, who can do Imamat, how you must do Imamat, and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming and to fill your hearts with his noor and grace, and to connect himself with you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.